We started this a couple weeks ago, and we started it through the story of the woman that Jesus was willing to redirect or change his plans and his schedules to be able to go meet and share with her something that obviously she did not quite understand or did not realize. And it comes out of the story. I'm not going to go word for word on this one today because of our time refraints. I'm going to lay my papers out in order because we're going to have to get to the end of it real quickly. All right. Comes out of the story in John chapter 4. It's where the Samaritan woman meets Jesus at the well. And see, we say it like that, the Samaritan woman met Jesus at the well, but that's not really the way the story breaks it down and says. It says this, that Jesus was going to a journey, and on his journey, before he went on his journey, he turned to his disciples, and this is what he said. Hey, there's something I have to go do before I go on this journey. And I'm going to make just reference on this quickly because we stayed on it before. There was something so important about her and what he had to tell her that he was willing to put the cross off. And that's a big deal. Because he came here to die on the cross. And he was going to start that journey and go that way. But he said, but before I can do that, I must go here. And the Bible says, if you read it there in John chapter 4, that he went out of his way and went to Samaria. And when he got to Samaria, went to a well, and he was exhausted when he got there. He went and stood on the well, and it says he was weary from the journey. That means he was willing to invest so much energy into going to meet this lady. And what he had to tell her was so important that he was willing to move the journey of the progression to the cross back because this was going to be an impact and a conversation that would change this woman's life forever. That tells me two things. One, she was that important. Where when she looked in a mirror, she did not think she was that important. She thought she had made too many mistakes. She thought life had left her in such a bad place. She thought she was dealing with so many issues that no one could help her. No one was willing to help her. That's why I believe when she found herself at the well, she found herself at the well by herself. She'd given up on anybody being able to change her circumstance or situation. She'd done been through, the Bible says, 5 marriages, and she was into a relationship now with a guy that wouldn't commit to her, obviously, or wouldn't, you know, marry her. She was just had they were shacking up, or they were boyfriend and girlfriend. And so obviously the situation had turned out, she'd have made too many mistakes, or she just wasn't important enough. But I love the statement that says that she was so important that Jesus was willing to change his entire schedule, go way out of his way, get there exhausted, the Bible says, weary and tired. And when he got there, says he waited. Now, I tell you, I've shared this where I don't know about you, but I don't like waiting on anybody. There are very few people in my world because I feel like I have important things to do. And the truth is, I probably don't have that many important things to do. But there are a few people in my life that when they call and say, hey, Cricket, I need you to wait on me, I will wait on them because they're that important to me. The truth is, though, there are a lot of people that call and say, hey, I need you to wait. And I'm like, I'm sorry, I got to reschedule. You know how that goes. But Jesus, him being the Son of God, was willing to wait. The Bible says that the most important person that ever walked on this planet got to a well, and this lady that he was going to meet was important enough to him that he was willing to wait, the Bible says, to the 6th hour of that day. And as he waited, the Bible says, he got rested, he got ready for that encounter. So I brought this up. A lot of times we teach people that God is never too early or never too late. He's right on time. This story blows that out of the water. Because Jesus got there early and he was waiting on that encounter. That encounter, he was going to be there the entire time. He was going to be involved in that situation. She did not have to go through it alone. Whatever you're going through, you're not going through it alone. You may not realize God is there, but God is there. And he's waiting on you to look at him and recognize that who he is. Because this is what he said. The Bible says when he got there, she said, hey, he looked at her and he said, can I have a drink? And she says, you don't have anything to get your drink with, but why are you talking to me? I'm a Samaritan. You're a Jew. In other words, it showed what she thought about herself. And so as he said, you don't even have a pot to draw water out of. She did not realize that who she was speaking to could change her life. This is what the Bible said. He said, if you would have only realized who I am, you would ask me for a drink. And what I would do in you would be such a work. I would change your life so much that the very reason you came here today, you would never have to come here for that reason again. She said, if you would let me give you a drink, I would put a river of living water on the inside of you that it would spring up and you would never thirst again. Now, was he talking about physical thirst? Absolutely not. Because we were born as humans and our bodies need three things, they say, to live. We need air, we need food, and we need water to survive. And then the fourth is we need a shelter to make it through our circumstances. But see, he wasn't talking about a physical. He wasn't talking about the physical water. What he was saying was this. If you could recognize that I'm right here and that I am able to fix whatever's wrong on the inside of you, and this thing that's been driving you to jump from relationship to relationship, or this thing, this need, this hole inside of you that's been making you go from addiction to addiction, or from job to job, or longing to longing, or want to want, that great hole in your life, I have an ability and I have the power to fix it if you would just realize that I am the square peg for the square hole. See, we walk around trying to put so many round pegs in a square hole that they never fit. And so them round pegs go in these square holes and we just keep spinning our wheels over and over again, thinking just the next hire, the next drink, or the next relationship, or the next job, or the next check, or whatever it is we're racing and running after to fix this thing. Will fix this thing, but it will never fix this thing, because a round peg always leaves space in a square hole. And so it never fulfills. It never makes it right. And so what happens is you just keep spinning and spinning and spinning. And the thing about it is the more you spin, the tireder you get. And the more tireder you get, the more mistakes you make. That's why the Bible says, don't grow weary in well-doing. For in due season, in other words, if you get tired and worn out in this, then what happens is you will. I was talking to somebody 2 days ago and they said, Cricket, I don't know what happened. I'd made it 30 days sober. I'd spent 30 days I hadn't had a drink. But when I was on the phone with them, they were drunk. He said, I don't know how this happened. I was doing so good. Because he was still putting a round peg in a square hole. And when you put a round peg on a square hole that's on the inside of you, there's always gaps, there's always spaces, and there's always an emptiness that will never be filled. And so, yes, you may can stand up on your own. And yes, you may can stay sober for a single period of time. Or yes, you may can be happier. Yes, you may can do this for a while. But what happens is you will get so exhausted, you'll get so tired. What happens is there will be a breakdown and you will collapse. And you will find yourself living on a spiritual roller coaster, asking God to forgive me and then asking God to bless me. Then asking God to forgive me, then asking God to bless me. And your life will constantly be on that stage because a round peg will not fill your square hole. And Jesus showed up to this lady at the well, and this is what he said. He said, a relationship won't do it. He said, this well water won't do it. Whatever you, the only thing that's going to fulfill you where you will never find yourself in this situation again is me. But you don't recognize me. He said, if you only knew it was me. And I'm here to tell somebody this morning, what you are dealing with is not a money situation, is not an addiction situation, is not a longing situation, is not a loneliness situation, although every one of those things are real. What you're dealing with is you need Jesus. And Jesus will meet that need. And that's easy to say out my mouth, but it's hard to understand how to make that connection go. And we're going to get there by the end of this message. But she said, you've got this round hole, or the square hole, and you've been putting round pegs in it. Now, I've told you this. I don't look down on this girl at all. I don't think she was a bad person. As a matter of fact, I think she was very strong and very, very good at holding all the balls in the air that she was juggling. A lot of people preach, this was a sinner woman. I got to tell you something. I'm a sinner man. Some people say, you know, this lady had made too many, made so many mistakes. Think about it. I believe this lady was doing the very best she could do. She's doing the very best she could do. Because the Bible says she had fallen down five times. Her life had totally been shattered and destroyed five times. But she kept getting up, man. My hat's off to her. I've learned this, and I shared this with you before. People don't sin because they want to. A lot of times when we meet people that are living in sin, we think they're doing it because they want to. Now, I'm not saying the Bible says sin is fun for a season. What that really means is this, that season sin will give you a break or give you some kind of ease or will let you get your mind off of or let you at least try to enjoy something for a little while, but it always comes back to bite you. And the truth is you really don't want to do it, but the truth is she didn't have any other option. She didn't think. she kept going from relationship to relationship because I believe that, you know, she didn't know how to do it on her own, and she didn't know how to fix these situations. She didn't know how to support her kids, and she didn't know on her own without help. And the truth is, you can't do it on your own. And she couldn't do it on her own. So she kept trying to do it on her own. And I want to tell you that every time you do it your way, you're going to find yourself at a point in an intersection like where your life is going to fall apart. It's not, you can't do it your way, but you were never intended to do it your way. So when people get into sin or people live and say, I used to be one of those that would look at it and think, man, he just wanting to do that. He doing that. No, I understand now this. He doesn't recognize that Jesus is what can meet that need. So he's trying to meet that need, trying to get the pain to stop, or trying to get the pressure off, or trying to get a break in that area. So he's doing whatever he can do. But there comes a day of reckoning that comes to this point. When Jesus shows up and Jesus tells you, hey, if you could recognize that I can meet this thing in your life, then it can all change. And I'm here to tell somebody in here this one thing this morning. It don't have to be this way any longer. You don't have to live this way. There is another way, and Jesus had called that other way. And so when she was told this, she didn't understand it. Like I say, we're not staying on this long, but we're going to recap. And the reason why I got to recap is this. Because the United States Air Force did a survey, and I told this Wednesday night, that 98% of what you hear, you will forget within 72 hours. You say, Craig, why are you saying the same thing over and over again? Because some of you didn't remember this yesterday. When you made the same mistake that you've been making for the last 10 years, you didn't remember this. And you're not any different than me. I don't remember it all the time either way, but I am convinced I need to tell you again. There is a better way. And you got to understand that Jesus is the source of that round, that square hole in your life. And if there's emptiness and you're having to go after trying to fill that thing on your own, I'm here to tell you, you can't, but Jesus will. If you would just ask him for a drink. And we're going to get into that this morning. We're going to figure out how to get that drink, all right? Because you need to take a drink. And because he said, if you would take a drink, when you take that drink, everything in life will change. That need and that longing you had will all change. So we've got to tell you this one more time. You know, and one of the top 10 earners, musical earners this year is a unique guy. One of the music artists, he's in the top 10 earners. He's been one of the top 10 earners for the last 39 years. Elvis Presley died 39 years ago. 12 years ago, he was the number one top earning musician in the country still. And he'd been dead 27 years. Thing about Elvis was this: he made 33 movies, wrote more hit songs than any other recording artist, spent his life in fame and fortune on a platform and a stage that, you know, no one could have ever dreamed or thought of. He had more money than he could spend, but he died of obesity and drug overdose. And his wife was interviewed after he died, and this is what Priscilla said. Priscilla said Elvis had this thing in him that it didn't matter how much success or how far he went, that what he kept doing was this. He knew that he was meant for something else. He didn't know if he was supposed to be a preacher. He didn't know if he was supposed to be a praise leader. But he always knew there was something else he was supposed to be doing, but that he could forget about it when he would step on a stage. So he constantly kept in his schedule stages for him to step on. And when he wasn't on the stage to be able to forget about it, he was having to take drugs or drink. See, Elvis knew there was something. He didn't know how to get it. He knew God had put him here for something, but he didn't know how to connect with God to get it. And so what he did was he found ways to escape that knowing that God's the only thing that's going. I'm telling you. We've all done it, and we're all doing it. We're finding escapes because we know God is the source of what we need. The problem is we don't know really how to connect into it, so what we do is we find escapes, whether the escape be anger, whether the escape be gossip, whether the escape be wrong friends, whether the escape be work, whether it be whatever your escape is. We all have them. Think about it. Jesus is here today to tell you, I am the connection and the source for that. And if you will come to me, if you will just recognize that as me, if you'll just take, and what he said was a drink. it will change. This is what she said. She goes, all right, well, you know, tell me this. She says, are you better than our fathers before? She said, you know, are you better than Jacob and them? That this is Jacob's well. And are you better than the guy that dug this well? In other words, my family, she said, we've been coming here for generations getting a drink. Are you better than all them? In other words, what she's saying, you know, everybody's been doing it this way for this long and it's been working for them. Are you telling me that because, you know, everybody, and the truth is this. When we don't recognize Jesus as the source, we usually can find somebody that can be happy without him, or we think. You would have looked at Elvis Presley's life and thought he was happy and was successful and had everything he wanted. He died from overdose and obesity, and his wife said that he was miserable every day because he knew. He knew there was something else. He knew there was something, but he just never could make himself do it. Never could make himself surrender and give it over to what he knew was there the whole time. And so he found escapes and he found things. I'm telling you, you're going through what you're going through this morning in that area because you haven't seen that God is the source of that. And you may have seen other people be able to do it, but you're not other people. There's no one like you. There's no one else can do. And there was no one else created for what you can do and what you were created for. So what may work for somebody else will not work for you because you're one of a kind and you're an original. And I want you to know something, though. It's all a smoke and facade because they're not happy either. If they can do it without Jesus, they're not happy. And that you just keep watching that story because that story will not end well. That story will end in a bad way because they were created with a square hole in their life. And the only thing that will fill that square hole is a square peg. Round pegs will not do it. Says, so you're saying you're better than everybody else that ever dug this well? What you got to understand about that well is this. You know, that well been filled up several times. Every time an enemy came in and captured them, they would fill up their wells so they could. I mean, you're going to find out there's going to be a time or a place that whatever you're getting that source from now will get shut off. Whether it be you're going to lose the job, whether the relationship's going to break down, or whether, you know what I'm saying, the economy changes, or whether your money runs out, or whether your drug dealer gets arrested, or whether you get a DWI. I mean, somewhere, somehow, the enemy will come in. He will let you get so far. Then he's going to come in. He's going to shut it down. Because he's going to try to stop you before you ever get a chance. If he gives you too much rope, he knows you might get free. And so what is the answer to this thing? The answer is for you this morning to recognize the only source in your life that can change this thing and make you fulfilled is going to be Jesus. And yes, other people may have done it in the past a different way, but you're different. You're here right now, and you're going through what you're going through, and Jesus said, I'm the source. It doesn't matter what other people did. There were other ladies at that well that day getting water too, but Jesus made it a personal thing for her, and it's a personal thing for you. You're here because God wanted you, had a divine appointment for you here today to hear this. There is another way, and I will meet that need if you let me. And so I want to tell you this morning how to take a drink, because he said, if you would just ask me for a drink, you'll never thirst again. So then the conversation changed in that story. She said this. She said, all right, you Jews, you say that to worship God, you have to go to the temple. We Samaritans, we go to the mountain. We worship God. Which way is the right way? And Jesus understood at that point. She now sees it spiritually. She sees that, yes, it's going to be connected. And it's a spiritual thing. But what she made this spiritual thing into a religious thing. Because, see, religiously, Jews went to the temple. And religiously, Samaritans went up to the hill. I want you to know something. If your relationship with God is a religious thing, you will stay thirsty. If you come to church out of habit and not out of desperation, you're missing it. If you read your Bible because of you're supposed to, instead of because it is the Word of God, you're missing it. Religion will leave you more thirsty than you were before you got there. You ever drank salty water? I'm not going to get into the benefit. I'm going to use it like this. Salty water just makes you thirstier. And when you drink contaminated relationship with Jesus, what happens is it leaves you thirstier. You can be a part of a church for 30 years and not get connected to God in the way that he can meet your needs. but he wants to, and it's not his fault. He didn't fall short. He's not short-handed. He's not the one messing up here. What it is we come through it at the wrong way. We're coming through it through religion. See, and she thought religious was going to do it. And maybe you've grown up in church. Maybe you've been in church long enough, and you think, well, I didn't get anything out of that. And I understand that because you didn't get anything out of religion. There's nothing in religion for you. Religion is man's effort to try to get to God. Jesus was God's effort to get to man. And we didn't have to go to heaven to get there. Jesus came here. And so there is a different way to do it. And she didn't understand. She was obviously a very religious person. She understood her customs and she understood the Jewish custom. So she'd been taught things. She knew a lot about the Bible. She knew, about God and relationship with God. She just did not know how to get her relationship with God. So Jesus had to personally show up to her and show her how to take a drink. The good news is she got it. Jesus said this, there's going to come a day that you don't have to go to the mountain and worship. You don't have to go to the temple to worship. There's going to come a day when you will worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, that's an unusual way to say it, and that's weird, and we read through that, and we think, what does that mean? And I understand that, and I'm here to tell you that if you don't get this today, and I understand that probably 1 in 4 of you might get this today, but 3 in 4 of you won't. You say, Cricket, where do you get that statistic? Because the Bible says when a sower threw the seed, it fell on 4 grounds. There's only 4 kind of grounds, and each one of those grounds represent hearts, and only 1 of those grounds really got this. The other one's got a little bit of it, and so I'm telling you, the sad part about it is some of us are going to walk out of here and not take advantage about what we're going to share this morning, and you're going to find yourself still dry, thirsty, dried up, and longing when you walk out. But I pray that you will grab onto this and you will make the decision to be the good out of the 4. Because this will change your life. He said, there's going to come a day you're going to work. There's going to come a day. But I'm here to tell you that if you don't get it today, if you don't grab hold to this day, you're going to find your life broken down at such a point somewhere in the future that you're going to be desperate enough, you'll reach out then. And Jesus knew that. So he said, there's going to come a day. For some of you, it's today. For some of you, it might take another breakdown or another situation before you get this. That round peg's not going to fill that square hole. But there will come a day you're going to understand and realize this truth. The truth is this. You're going to have to worship him in spirit and in truth. The thing about spirit is this. You do very few things in your life out of your spirit. Your spirit stays very inactive most of the time. Because all of your feelings and all your emotions and all your desires are not your spirit. You know, all of your thoughts and all of your emotions, although that's not true. Very few things do you do with your spirit. And the truth is most of our spirits are very inactive. A lot of times we just pray and everything out of our emotions and pray and all that, read out of our emotions and our feelings. But your spirit, the Bible says, there's going to come a day when you're going to actually understand and realize how to do it out of your spirit. And I'm going to tell you how to do that in just a little bit. And then it says, you're going to do it out of your truth. Now, we're going to stop there and get into this story now. And we're going to jump over to Matthew chapter 26 and 6 through 13. For the sake of time, because I don't have much more, I'm going to tell you this story as well. The Bible says here that Jesus went to a certain house and there was a meeting because Jesus left that story to me kind of in a cliffhanger. He said, you're going to worship him in spirit and truth. Then their conversation stopped and she left. And then it shows, though, at the end of that chapter that she got it and she understood it because she, Bible says, she came back and she came running back and she brought all of her friends and all of the people she knew and said, you've got to meet this guy because he changed my life. And he brought people to meet Jesus. So that tells me that she got a drink in there. But that story kind of left in the cliffhanger. So how do I get what she got? And so I'm going to jump to the other story. And this story picks up. And where Jesus actually went to a house and he got involved with the family. And he went to a house where Mary and her sister Martha and their brother Lazarus lived. And the Bible says in Matthew 26 that he got to the house of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And there were disciples there as well. And religious people is what one chapter says. So really there are 5 groups of people in this house that are represented in this story. One, there was Martha. We're going to jump on her because we've talked about her already. Jesus was in the house. And Martha was the one actively at work doing things and working hard. Trying, the Bible says, to serve the Lord. Now, I've been in this spot a lot of times, too. I have been in life, and I thought serving the Lord would be good for me. And, you know, that's what I'm supposed to do, serve the Lord with gladness. And my relationship with God built out a lot of times out of the service that I could do for Him. And the Bible says that Martha was serving the Lord, and when she was serving, that she was getting the kitchen ready, the meal ready, and all that. And she came to Jesus and said, "Jesus, don't you see Mary? Mary is not helping me serve the Lord." And Jesus said, "Leave her alone." That tells me this. If my relationship with God is serving the Lord, see, and I understand this, when you try to just serve the Lord, you try to take a drink by doing things for God. I want you to know something. We talked about this Wednesday night. It says, work out your salvation. Work out your salvation does not mean work for your salvation. You cannot earn it. You cannot do it. As a matter of fact, you cannot be good enough for it. You cannot work that out. I mean, work for it. Work out means you develop what you already have. Because, see, when I go to a gym and work out, I'm not making new muscles. I'm just developing the muscles that I have. No matter how many times I go to the gym, I'm not going to all of a sudden one day pop up a new muscle that I did not have before I got there. Doesn't work that way. The ones I have get bigger. So you cannot serve your way to. You cannot come to church enough to get happy and fulfilled. You cannot serve in church enough to get happy and fulfilled. Now, coming to church and serving the Lord in different avenues, does that fulfill those? Yes. Once you understand how to be fulfilled, it is a major part of being of staying fulfilled. But you can't come to church enough. So what happens is a lot of times we come to church and come to church and come to church, and then we end up quitting church because we think, you know, I'm not getting anything out of it or not getting filled. What's happened is you are doing it out of service. And if you're doing it out of service, you're going to get bitter and mean and cantankerous and judgmental. And you're going to turn around and say, you know what, that church ain't no good for me. And you'll walk out and you'll try to find another church and you'll do the same thing for the same way, because you can't earn this thing. You could not. See, she was even at the well with her own bucket and her own robe, and she dropped it down in the water. She was going to get her own drink. If you got to do this thing by yourself, you're going to do it by yourself in another church next year. Because it's not about service. And that's why, you know, I'm just going to share this. There was somebody here last Wednesday night, and when service started, they did not walk out of the foyer and walk into here. Yes, do we do the meals, and yes, do we do all this other stuff in the church? Yes, and we do it to make lives easier and for people to have an opportunity to do something for the Lord. But there was this one specific person last Wednesday night, and I kept saying, man, come in service, come in service. He's like, no, I got to do this, got to do this. I said, come in service. And do you see him in here today? No. Because they had a fallout this weekend. He got angry. And he felt like that he was doing more here than anybody else. I want to tell you something. God was wanting to do more than anybody else. But because of the idea and the deception of serving the Lord, this young man, and my heart breaks for him, has missed out on what God had for him. And I'm telling you, there's nothing more important than what goes on in these services. And I got to be honest with you. I'll shut down every meal. I'll shut down every group. Shut down everything if it means people are not getting a connection with the Lord that they need. And so if you're serving the Lord, great. Do it with gladness. But the minute you find yourself being judgmental, critical, and bitter, you get in the service. You resign your position and you sit on these seats. And here's where you get your drink. You get your drink. Now, let's get it. You see how emotional that? Yes, my heart breaks for this young man because I know what he's going through. I know it. But that's not God's will for him. Then the next person in this story was not just Martha. Then there was Lazarus. And this is what the Bible says about Lazarus. The Bible says Lazarus was sitting at the table. In other words, Jesus was sitting there and he was sitting here. And that sounds like a good thing. You know, it sounds like something you ought to do. You know, the thing about sitting here and sitting there and sitting, and you build a relationship and you get to be a friend, but you also get unhealthy. If all you do is sit at the table, you get fat. I know. I know. I've been on a diet for 2 months. I'm 4 pounds away from the weight I need to be back in to fit in one of my suits. All right, so I know. Sitting at a table gets you fat. Now, was it important to have that relationship with Jesus? Yes. Because he had that relationship with Jesus, when he got sick and he died, Jesus rose Lazarus from the dead. So you got to have, but thing about it is, it's not about just doing nothing. You just can't come to church. There's something else. You got to, the Bible says if you couldn't just come to the well, you got to take a drink. But then there was this group, the Bible says, of disciples that were involved in ministry, and they helped Jesus do what he was doing. And what happened with them was they got judgmental about it. And while all this was going on, they started judging, saying, you know what? Y'all shouldn't be doing that like this. She shouldn't be over there doing this. That's wrong. And Jesus looked at him. I love what he said. Leave her alone. Leave her alone. I have to constantly, and you have to constantly watch ourselves from being religious people that judge this situation. Some of you already sitting in here this morning said, man, that service ain't, that's a messed up service. Yeah, good news, I'm not preaching next week, so you'll get a good preacher, all right? So if you've judged the preaching, it's okay. I don't preach every week. But I'm here to tell you, they missed it too. All those guys missed it too. Then there was the religious, as in those that sit there and just were there to critique and tear apart. I understand this. There are people in here that are here just to tear apart. I'm telling you, it's not going to fulfill you. The more people you tear down, the worse you're going to feel. It may make you feel better right now, but if all you do is tear people down, you will wait. When you get by yourself and you get alone, you're going to find out the only person you tore down was you. But then there was Mary. And the Bible says Mary got it. Mary got it because when they said, tell her to get up, and Martha said, get up and serve. The disciple says, tell her to quit wasting. And the religious people judged it, saying it was wrong. But Mary didn't care because she knew that if I don't get a drink of this, if I don't get a drink, then I got to get up tomorrow and face the same thing I was facing yesterday. But I need a change inside of me. I need something in my life to be different. I need God to put that river of living water inside of me. I need him to stick this square hole plague in this square hole. And the Bible said what she did was she walked to his feet. And she took a box of perfume and broke it. One gospel says she was weeping. One gospel says she was wiping his feet with her hair. It's in the stories in four different chapters. And the truth of it all boils down to this. She understood what Jesus told the woman at the well. Nothing else matters unless you know how to worship. Nothing else matters unless you know how to worship. And so the truth of the matter is this. You want me to tell you why your relationship with God has not worked in that area? Because you don't know how to worship in that area. I'm not judging you, I'm judging me. I'm telling you this. The reason why the things in my life are the way they are is because I've not learned how to connect with God in that area of my life. And it comes through worship. Well, what is worship? Worship is this. Worship is not slow songs and praise fast songs. Worship is not praise. The Bible says praise is what draws the presence of God in. Now, tempo don't got nothing to do with it. And I got to tell you, music doesn't even have anything to do with it. Because the Bible did not say where Mary was sitting at his feet that there was a guitar player there too. So I don't believe there was any music going on in that room because they were sitting at a table having a conversation. All right? There's several places in the Bible that shows the power of what worship does. Learning to worship is the most important thing of your Christian walk you can do. That's why Jesus, when he showed up at the well, that's the one thing he told her she needed to do. Let me tell you the power of worship. See, a lot of people think when the children of Israel were in Egypt, that when Moses walked in and said, let my people go, he meant set them free. That's not what he said. You can look it back up and read it. You know what he said? He said, let my people go into the desert and worship. Do you know that's what he said? He never went and asked Pharaoh to let his people go free. He went and asked him, let my people go and worship in the wilderness. And let me tell you what happened. Because they went and worshiped in the wilderness, they were set free. Do you understand the power of worship? Let me tell you what happened on the journey to get there, though. The Bible says when they came and said, "Let my people go," it infuriated the king. He got so mad that he said, "You know what? These guys that are making bricks, I'm going to make their life more miserable than they've ever been miserable. Now they're going to have to make the same amount of bricks, and I'm not going to give them straw to do it." What does that mean? They asked to be able to worship. There was about to be an opportunity for being able to worship, and the enemy got upset about it, and he said, "I better stop them from getting to a place to worship. I'm going to make their life twice as hard and twice as miserable to where maybe they'll give up and not want to go worship anymore. They just want to take a break." But the Bible says that didn't break their spirit. Let me tell you why things have gotten twice as hard and twice as rough on you. Because you're about to get an opportunity to worship. And the reason why the enemy's trying to keep you from it is because when you get there to the children of Israel, it meant freedom. And check out what else they got out of freedom. They got their promised land, that thing they were dreaming about for years. Now, that's amazing. Let me tell you another story about somebody else worshiping. Bible says that when Abraham, the Lord came to him and asked him to give up the most important thing in his life, his son, said, "You're going to lose your son, Abraham. You got to let him go. He's going to die." Can you imagine how devastating that dad's heart was? "I'm fixing to watch my kid die." And you know what Abraham, the Bible says, he did? The Bible says he gathered his stuff and put his son on a donkey. That they put everything together, and this is what he said. He says, "We are going to a place," the Bible says, "to worship." Didn't say we're going to go sacrifice my son. He did not say we're about to run and hide. He said, "We are going to a place to worship." You can read it. It says, when they were 3 days from nowhere, it says they went to a place. He saw that they went up on the mountain to worship. And I want to tell you something. He went on that mountain to worship when his son had a death sentence. When he came off that mountain after he worshiped, his son was still with him, and his legacy and his promise was there for him. I'm telling you, worship changes everything. It doesn't matter how many offering plates you pass. It doesn't matter how many classes you. If you miss this principle, you're missing getting a drink from the well that will change everything. Because, see, when you take a drink out of this, what happens is this. Then you have the ability and the power to say no to whatever. See, and you want me to tell you, like, with Abraham going up on the mountain, he took something with him. You know what he took with him? The Bible says when he went up on the mountain to worship, he took with him wood. Now, don't you think he could have found some up there? One of the things you need to worship is you got to get with you. You got to take with you some wood. What does that mean? That means this. See, wood was something that once was living, that has been disconnected or severed or cut away, and it has been dried out and it has died, and now it's dead. And it's now able to hold a flame and able to be consumed and combusted. A lot of us never can move into a place of worship for this reason. We've never chopped anything off in our life. Never chopped anything. There's never been anything die in our life. And so one of the things that keeps us from getting to a place to worship is this. We come to know the Lord. We love the Lord. And what the Lord says is, "Man, I give you a new life," and we take this new life, but we never live this new life. We keep trying to live the same way that we always live. So what happens is we get to the altar of the Lord to be able to worship, but we don't have any wood because we don't have anything that has died. I want to let you know something. Back when I used to smoke cigarettes, I was a Christian. I was saved. But it's like I couldn't enter in deep with the Lord when I was in church services and things like that, because instead of being able to worship God, what I was always doing was asking God to forgive me for smoking because I knew I shouldn't have been. That may sound dumb to you or simple to you, but I mean, I was raised in mom and dad's home, and they always told me, and I knew I shouldn't have been doing it. I knew it was wrong. And so something that I should have chopped off and let die, I kept keeping alive. And because I kept keeping it alive, I couldn't enter into worship. And I want you to know something. There is a place in worship that if you've never been there, it will change your entire life. You get into this thing and everything around you melts away. And every problem you were carrying is laid aside. And every hurt and every pain and everything that's on the inside of you leaves. It all comes out of that one moment of worship. But see, if you don't got any dead wood in your life, you can't get to that place. If all you're ever doing is you got all these things in your life you know you shouldn't be doing, and you lay them down, but before you get away from the altar, you pick them back up and take them with you, they're not dead. Abraham, he went up on the mountain with dead things. Some of us this morning need to lay some things down and decide, if God's told me to lay this thing down, it's got to stay down, and I'm going to lay it down. I'm not going to let it live. It's going to stay dead in my life so that I can enter into worship, because worship is the drink. Now, the Bible says this. Bible says, in the year that the king Uriah died, that tells me this. It says, Elijah said, and I saw that the Lord was high and lifted up, and his glory filled the temple. That tells me this. The man went through something tough. The king had just died. His friend had just died. His leader had just died. He was directionless, focusless. I mean, he was heartbroken. And the Bible said this. In that moment, it said, in the year that King Uriah died, said he made a decision. I'm going to look up and I'm going to see God high and lifted up. And I'm going to make sure that his glory fills the temple. I'm going to be a worshiper. If you're going through something hard, you've got to get a drink, because it will change everything. Now, you say, Cricket, what is worship? And I got to give you this, and then we're going to do it. See, praise says, God, I thank you for my family, and I thank you for my healing, and I thank you for the roof over my head, and I thank you for the church that I go to, and I thank you. Praise thanks God for everything that he's done. Worship says this, God, if I don't ever, ever have a roof over my head, God, if I don't ever get my family back, God, if I stay broke forever, if God, I don't care. I just need you. You are everything when I have nothing. And if you never change this situation in my life, God, I just need you.